Peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Deep beneath the waves of temptation, my distraction, I'm just the sum of my mistakes. All my insecurities and false beliefs keep my joy locked away. And I'm nervous for all that is at stake. Will I make it to the shore through the storm, or will I break? Will I fall?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Good Things Radio, bringing the funk today. I say that like such a white lady. That is Connor Flanagan. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. And that's the sound of our guest. Yeah, Connor Flanagan is a hip hop artist. He's joining us on the program. And there's a lot more where that came from. So we're going to talk to him on the show. I really think you're going to love him. If you're not already a big fan of his music, you're going to get a great introduction and even have a chance to be in one of his music videos. So that's coming up on episode number 149 today. Also, Brother John Michael Paul, my pilgrimage pal, we traveled to the Holy Land together, and we have another pilgrimage coming up to go to Israel. I want to tell you about that. So we've got Connor, we've got Brother John Michael Paul, we've got the hip and the holy. We've got you covered today, so let's jump in.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through.
Well, a big thank you. I almost went into a southern accent there. Barb in Alabama, she sent an email. Barb is such a dear listener. So happy to hear from her. She said, Brooke, I am thrilled about your new devotional, Choose Hope. I feel like hope is something I don't really have in my life right now. But like one of the ladies from Nun and Nunner said, it's something you have to work towards. I know that your devotional will help me do that. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you so much, Barb. If you think of it, if you could say a prayer for her right now, if you don't know yet, there is a brand new devotional in the works. We have over 50 contributing writers, from Bible scholar Jeff Cavins to Dove Award winner Sherry Kagi, Olympian Rebecca Dussault, many names that you aren't even going to recognize, titles that aren't that fancy, but boy, can they speak to hope by the witness of their own life. So that devotional, Choose Hope, a 52-week devotional journey, is going to be out at the end of November, God willing. And so that's the scoop there, but we're really excited. Thank you so much, Barb. And we could not do it without your support. And with that, someone I wanted to personally thank for becoming a GTR good friend of the show is SL Zim 1.
Yeah.
So SL Zim 1 is our latest Podbean patron. So thankful. And if you like what you hear, you're enjoying the show, you want to keep it going, consider becoming a GTR good friend of the show. One example of how valuable it is to our ministry is this topic, is Choose Hope, working on the book. We have actually been able to invest in a graphic designer who's laying out our pages, drafting the layout, which is amazing. It looks like a real book. I don't know how else to say it, but it's so inviting to read. And there's a secret sauce to what makes a book readable. You learn so much. Those sorts of things are really important. And when you're walking through this process, it's just a big, it's like a school in and of itself. So, but there's no way that we could have done that without your support. And so we just thank you so much. And if you want to become a GTR good friend of the show, really easy. It's like a tip jar program. So you can donate $5 a month, $50 a month. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. And we pray for our Podbean patrons every single day. You can find out more on our show notes. Just click the link to become a GTR good friend of the show. And thank you. Our guest on today's show is an evangelist, a singer-songwriter, a worship leader currently residing in Minnesota, voted as one of the top five up-and-coming Catholic artists on Catholic Link, recently opened for Crowder, and that's just getting started. And I will also add, if you have young adults, teenagers, I think he's especially up your alley, and we'll get into why that is coming up. So for now, welcome to the show from Nashville at the moment, Connor Flanagan. Hi, Connor.
Hi, Brooke.
Well, that's quite an intro there. You've got a lot going on.
Yeah. Can you like record that for me? Can I like your places?
I know when you hear it like that, it sounds pretty impressive, but you're just kind of in the trenches. I know, just getting it done.
Yeah. It's kind of a breath of fresh air to hear like a perspective like that step back. Cause when you're in the middle of all of it, it's tiring and hard and
Yep. And you're also a husband and father, too, of course.
Most importantly.
Well, thank you for joining us, because you're in Nashville, then traveling back to Minnesota. Is that right?
Yeah, I head back tomorrow afternoon.
I want to get into your music, because the reason I said in your intro that young adults and teens would like this, because I was thinking of my son and the genre of music that you do. It's hip hop style. Your Instagram social media is iFlow Acoustic. And I think that really grabs that age group. Is that how you would describe your music?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's my Instagram handle and Facebook handle and all of those things. I've had those from the very beginning when I started. And so when I started writing, I was writing hip hop style music over an acoustic guitar. And so that's kind of where the name came from. But as I've just grown as an artist, it's become much more produced, electronic, kind of where I want it to go. But I still kind of like the original name of. And when I sit down to write music, I still write to a guitar.
That's
but yeah,
so cool.
The record that I'm about to put out and the stuff that I'm writing now is all hip hop. So
I know you grew up in a really strong Christian home, and I don't imagine that your mom was blasting hip hop. So how did you get attracted as a teenage Connor to that form of music? And when you did, was it Christian or was it the secular mainstream hip hop?
Yeah. So, my mom was blasting hip hop.
What?
No, my mom loves it. But she was she was really kind of a pioneer in like parenting and then incorporating music into parenting, because, she made such an effort to get us to listen to great music live, you know? So where all of my friends who were listening to secular hip hop artists who, you know, were rough around the edges and maybe the content wasn't what we should be listening to, their parents wouldn't be taking them to concerts, you know, but my mom would be taking me downtown into like the east side of Cleveland to go find the one Christian hip hop artist who exists on the face of the planet who's passing through, you know what I mean? So it was like,
so it was Christian hip hop though. That
was Christian hip hop
standard.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when I was a kid, it was first coming out. So like you had Toby Mac was just starting, Grits was just starting, John Rubin. You had all these guys who were just kind of paving the way in Christian hip hop. And I just like latched onto that stuff. And my mom did an amazing job fostering that and giving us opportunities to listen.
I really appreciate that, because I think it speaks to the power of live music, especially in a worship setting. And I can tell you, as a mom that has a large family, we don't go to that many concerts because, number one, they can be expensive. And I used to blessedly get all those shows for free working in contemporary Christian radio, and I miss it. But the impact that it had on you sounds like it was pretty instant. And it was something that your mom was really passionate about.
Music in general is such an influencer in our world. Oh my gosh, our culture is like driven by where music culture is going, I feel like. And so, you know, to see that the way it impacted our lives as kids, I think my mom saw it as such a positive thing. She's like, this is great. Let's just keep doing it. Plus it was just good music and it was fun, you know?
So that brings me to your music right now. You have a brand new album. I know you're in Nashville. You're kind of finishing up your latest work, which is exciting, because this is, I mean, tell me about the creative process. That's got to be unique in your writing. Is it rhymes? I know I sound so lame. So I know it's more than that, but tell us how that works.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. For me, like I said, I start on a guitar and I at least lay down simple melodies and verses and kind of concepts on a guitar. And then my process has changed a lot over the years. A good friend of mine, Abe Gross, who lives with me in the Twin Cities, for this record, he and I sat down. He's a producer. He's a very, very talented producer. So he and I sat down and said, hey, let's create this record together as far as we can take it with just kind of both of our skill sets. And then once we get that far, let's send it to my guys in Nashville to kind of breathe a little bit of the kind of professional Nashville life into the record. So it was fun. So like my previous record, Mountains, I didn't have as much of a say in on the creative process because I just wasn't there yet as an artist. I wrote the songs on a guitar, sent them to Nashville, and then I walked with the guys in Nashville as they kind of created the music. But what I love about Skyscrapers, my record about to come out, is like all of the melody lines, everything you hear in the record is kind of where my heart is and where my brain was. And then we just all worked on it together to bring it to life. So I feel much more like attached and invested in this project and excited about it.
So take us into your music and who the music's for, where you draw your inspiration from?
One, Jesus. You know, I was literally just having a conversation with someone yesterday saying, if you were to take Jesus out of my journey with music, I mean, really with life, but if we're talking about music, it would just be silly. It would just be silly. Like, he has been such a pivotal player in everything that I've been doing. So, I mean, all of my inspiration comes from there, from him. And then just life, family life, what I struggle with, where I find joy, coffee. People tease me all the time that, like, I'm always good to have, like, at least one coffee reference in a song somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. So it's just kind of, as I've grown as an artist and as I've grown up, I've become really passionate about writing music that would resonate with, like, 19 or 20-year-old Connor. Because I just think that's such a pivotal transitional point in a young person's life, coming to the end of college, getting your first job, moving out, whatever happens in that, like, 19, 20 to 22, 23. And so for me right now, I'm trying to write music that, like, addresses some of the things that I was going through during that time in my life and what other people might need direction in.
And I know you're an observer as an artist and just as a Christian and how God made you of people, of the human condition, of especially youth, because that's part of what you do as worship leader now. So I'm curious, what are some of those issues? I know in my own family, some of the things, my oldest son is going to turn 17, and just wondering about future, why am I here? And that pull where the culture is, and it's a different identity than his Catholic Christian upbringing.
The biggest thing, especially with this record, is hope. I just think if you look at our world, people knew where their hope lied, our world would be a much more secure, confident, joyful, loving place, right? And so I think the number one reason I see people fail is because they're placing their hope in things that will ultimately fail them. Jesus won't. And so if there's one thing I want people to kind of get from my music, it would be that, just a really strong, unapologetic message of hope. And then the other part is joy. And I think that's musically where it comes in too, is like, I truly believe joy is going to change the world. I mean, my life has been changed by a radical encounter with joy. And if you come to my live show, whether you're a believer or not, my goal is that the quality of the music and the quality and professionalism of the performance and the joy would, like, make you step back and be like, what does he have that I don't? Where does his joy lie? And I want that. And not in a selfish way or a prideful way. I just know that I've been given a gift of joy, and I want other people to know where it comes from.
It's so exciting as you're talking. My heart is just racing inside because we last year put forth a devotional called Choose Joy. Now we're working on Choose Hope. And to hear you talk about both of those, I mean, this is the body of Christ, that we are one spirit and we are working together. And I believe it too. I'm right there with you because that's what we're investing our passions in, to bring stories of hope and joy to people. And you, in doing that with your music, is amazing. And it's interesting too, to hear your story from going as a teenager to hip hop concerts to now being on stage where you open for Crowder. I mean, what was that like to travel? I mean, it must be surreal to be up there.
It is. And honestly, like, opening for Crowder was awesome, but every time I step on a stage, I have that moment, like, of where I am now the artist that I saw as a kid. I'm kind of like the side stage at the festival or at the smaller venue downtown or at the church nearby. Like, it does blow my mind, and I'm just always constantly overwhelmed by the gift that it is, that it's like, God, that you have brought me this far. Because, I mean, if we were to sit down for like 6 or 7 hours and I were to tell you all of the pieces that fell into place to make my musical journey happen, I mean, it's just like ridiculous how much of it is God and not me. So I can't help but just give him all the credit and the glory for it.
And I know you're giving back too. I saw this on your website. It's really cool. You're looking for people to be in your music video. Tell us about that.
Yeah, if anyone, I mean, so we're way past the deadline, but I haven't, like, really committed to creating it yet. So if anyone sees this and they want to be in it, shoot me a message. I have the first single off my record just came out. It's called Landslide. And I just wanted to do something fun with it, to try to interact with the people who follow me. And so I put out a little notification that says, hey, like, you know, set your car or set your phone, you know, in your car dash and turn the music up and just dance and sing and, like, lip sing it. And then I'm going to make a mashup music video of all these different people in their cars rocking out to my song.
So it's Landslide. We have to download that first, memorize it.
Landslide's the song. Download it first. If you can memorize the rap part, I will be very impressed. That's usually like the part where the videos are really, really good. And then it gets to the part where I rap and everyone just starts kind of like totally just mouthing whatever words they think. And it always makes me laugh.
I was going to say, is there a requirement? I mean, if we mess up, are we out? If we're past a certain age?
No. I mean, I tell people like the more active you are in the video, the more fun you look like you're having. That's what I want. Yeah. Whether you're like lip singing the words or not, I don't really care.
That's fun. So your website is
ConnorFlanaganMusic.com.
Okay. ConnorFlanaganMusic.com. Well, you have on your website a really cool feature that I like where you take us into your every month wrap up. So where you went, what you did, and you have a couple questions that you have in bold and then you answer. And I thought it would be kind of fun to do that feature here. It's called the wrap up. Are you good with that?
Let's do it.
Okay. So the first question, you start deep. The first question is what I've learned this month. I know off the cuff, it's probably hard, but.
Yeah. What I've learned, this is something that I always learn, but I think specifically in the last 30 days, I've just been really aware of it, of how much comparison cripples what I do. And so in response to that, I've been challenged. I feel like I've been challenging myself to celebrate others' gifts, like in a really big way. He doesn't want us to compete. It would be, especially in the things that we're doing, parenting, music, if it's all for him, why would we be competing in it? You know? And so it's been a challenge because it's hard because my heart is just in a natural place of competition. I mean, honestly, like for me, it's like, if I see somebody on Facebook that I see that they're winning or that they have a great success in music, my gut reaction is like, oh, wait, should I be happy for them? So my response to that is like to shoot them a text, just encouraging that person, you know, as like celebrating their gifts. And so it's been really good. It's hard, but it's good.
And that's where the joy and the hope are in that action. Yeah. Okay, what I've read, that's the next one. Anything good lately?
What I've read, I just started a book by Christine Kane. She's a pastor for Hillsong. And she, I bought her book because she just had this talk that came out talking about the difference between gifting and anointing, how when the Lord, when you discover your anointing, how anointing can break chains and bring freedom. And I mean, it's just a beautiful presentation of, and it was directed to worship leaders and people in ministry. And so I was just really inspired by the way she addressed that. And so I bought her book. I just started it. So more on that next month.
Do you get through books? I don't know if it's ADD. I skim, but it's hard for me start to finish to read. Are you pretty good about that?
I'm terrible at it, but this last year as like a New Year's resolution, I was like, I'm going to read a book a month.
Oh, good.
And I should be a songwriter. Like I should be reading way more than I do. So far so good. We're on track.
I'm going to link that up in our show notes. I'm sure people will be interested. It's Christine Kane. What's the title again?
Unexpected.
Good. Where I've played.
So we just kicked off my next record's called Skyscrapers that comes out this fall. And we just kicked off the Skyscrapers fall tour. And so we've been in Orlando, Columbus, Ohio. I have a show in Chattanooga, Tennessee tonight before I head home. And then after that, we're off to Chicago and Wisconsin. So.
And you still have a full time. You're a worship leader, right? So you've got to, and family. You've got to juggle all that.
Yeah, youth minister. I do a lot of worship, but I work at a parish doing youth ministry full time, family. So it's a lot. But it's awesome.
And a side note, your tour is really just getting started, right? So if people want to go check you out, it's on your website.
Yeah, please. Almost all of the dates are open to the public. You know, a lot of these shows are booked with youth groups, churches, some other events. And so, but almost all of them are open. So, and they're free. So if you want to come check it out on the website, if you have questions about a show, you can message me, but I'd love to see you there.
That's great. Okay. What God has been saying to me, that's the next question on the wrap up.
That usually kind of coincides with what I've learned. So I would say, similar things like that. I should just be more celebratory of what other people are doing. And, you know, for me, a big theme of the last 3 years with music has been this idea that generosity always wins. And so I've just been trying to live in that. And the Lord continues to call me back to that. Like, how am I being generous? Because I'm really good at being generous when I want to be. And so I think this, even specifically these last couple months, like I've been challenged in how can I be generous when I don't want to be? Whether that's with my words, whether that's with my money, whether that's with my talents, my time. And so the Lord keeps bringing me back to that. Like I had a moment this trip where I did not want to be generous, but I was, and it didn't feel good, you know, but it was just like the Lord kind of drawing me into that. Like, kind of, if you're going to do this, this is how you need to do it.
I love it. And it gave me a vision, an image. I don't even know if it exactly ties in, but as you were talking about generosity in the family, how we learn that, don't just do the least, do the most, give yourself generously. And I had asked my son to load the dishwasher, and it wasn't even rinsed out. It was a bowl of like half-eaten cereal, and he put it in the top of the dishwasher, not even turned over. And I don't understand. So I think in your next song with Jesus and coffee, you need to do something about loading the dishwasher to inspire your kids. It's life, and it starts with us. I think that's the beautiful thing. Whether you're talking about comparison and complimenting or generosity, that it begins, you know, in our hearts and minds and actions. Family life. That's the next thing you have on the wrap up.
Man, family life is like hopping. We just bought a house.
Oh, congratulations.
So, like, getting ready to close on that, and we're expecting our second child.
Oh my goodness. That's so a big deal.
Yeah, so we have a one-year-old, Hadley, and then we have another on the way.
Aw, so, God bless you guys.
So it's great. Things are happening, and we love it.
So you better wrap up your tour
within the next
few months.
So we're not due till March, and so okay. We can get through the fall, okay?
That's awesome. What I'm listening to, what do you have going on in your playlist?
This question, I think, always, maybe it disappoints people or it's fascinating. I usually, anytime I'm in a season of writing, I listen to myself. Which I know that sounds so pathetic or like high and mighty, but it's just, I do, like, even my new record, I'm always listening to, because once we finish a record, I'm trying to learn how can we make it live. Like, there's a huge difference from just taking the tracks recorded and helping develop them to go well live. And so I spend a lot of time listening to that. How can we break apart the songs, make them more creative live, things like that. And other than that, my schedule has been like so busy. I've been listening to, there's these two playlists on Spotify. It's like it's called Peaceful Retreat and like a meditation playlist.
Mm.
A lot of them are just like instrumentals, some like nature landscape type sounds. But man, it's just been like so peaceful for me. Like no words, kind of giving me some time of quiet. Like I was walking through the airport in Nashville and I had this like Peaceful Retreat playlist going, and it was just like drowns out everything else and just kind of gives me a moment where I can, you know, be quiet, you know.
I think that's beautiful, and we need that because we're not surrounded by a gentle stream on our daily basis and in the airport. So it's such a beautiful escape. I think that's an awesome thing. Random thought, that's the last thing you have on your wrap up.
Random thought. Be bold today. If you're watching this, my random thought for you is to be bold. This trip in Nashville is a product of me being bold in terms of knocking down some doors and getting in with people that I wanted to meet with and network with. And it's been awesome. And it's just been cool to see how the Lord blesses boldness. Like they're not against each other. If you're watching this and listening to it, and there's been something you've been wanting to do, but you've been scared to do it, be bold today.
I am going to put that note by the dishwasher. For myself.
Rinse the dish out.
It applies to all of us, whether you're kicking down doors and creating new pathways or through the dishwasher. So before we wrap up, you've got so much going on. Just really excited to be able to connect with you and watch the journey, support what you're doing. So how can we find you?
Yeah, I mean, all social media platforms, my handle is @iFlowAcoustic. You can just search for me on YouTube. I'm going to be starting a vlog in the next 6 months documenting all of these trips that I'm taking for the tour, and then just kind of sharing, like, I want to give people an inside look and as to what it looks like to do this. I think my journey has been interesting, just kind of where the Lord's brought me from and where we're going, and I just want to invite people into that more. So we're going to have much more of a YouTube presence, and then my website is kind of where everything starts. So ConnorFlanaganMusic.com, you'll get the wrap up, you'll get little short posts about the trips, you'll get some pictures, and you can sign up for my email list there, which again, they get first access to everything if you're on my email list.
Well, yeah, because Skyscrapers is supposed to come out in November, right? But if there's any changes, you'll share that on the newsletter?
I will, yeah. So we have it set for November 9th. There will be an early pre-order release for anyone who is on the email list. So you can pre-order it and get two songs immediately, which will be fun.
And download Landslide. Is that what it is?
One's out now. Yep.
and memorize to be in your video, but do it soon.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
Wow. This is so, I hope you'll come on again. Maybe after your album's out, maybe if you're in the area.
Yeah, I would love to. That'd be fun.
Thank you for everything. God bless you. So we'll be bold, celebrate joy and hope, and do a good job with the dishwasher.
Yes, all of those.
Thank you, Connor. God bless you.
You too.
Thank you again to Connor Flanagan. And I love that he talked about being bold. We are going to underline that and put a post-it note on our forehead. Well, not really, but somewhere visible, and really actually ties exactly into our next guest. I was invited to go to the Holy Land to co-lead a pilgrimage. And I was scared. I'm thinking, what? I'm a mom of five. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to be gone for that long. And I certainly don't want to go to the Middle East where it could be dangerous. And the more that I researched, the more people that I talked to, like so many things, I realized fear was just kind of a convenient excuse. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. I'm honestly speaking from my heart. Brother John Michael Paul is going to elaborate a little bit more about that. But I think it's important to note, and in retrospect, it was one of the best things I ever did. So I love that Connor talked about that. And maybe I'll even write something hip-hop when I'm over there. Who knows? You know, when the spirit moves. Well, it has been, it seems like a long time since I last saw my friend, Brother John Michael Paul, and it was in some ways a world away. We were in the Holy Land, the journey to Israel, and what an unbelievable adventure it was. So just really excited. You know, when you see someone and it's attached to a good memory, it's just like a blessing every time you see them again. And that's the case with Brother John Michael Paul. So being able to reconnect again and talk about our next trip. If you're a listener, a longtime listener, you know that we are going back to the Holy Land. And this is not only now a passion of mine, having gone just once, but I know Brother John Michael Paul as well. And he's joining us today to talk about why he is so passionate about the Holy Land. Welcome to the show, Brother John Michael Paul.
Thank you, Brooke. What a great joy and honor to be with you again.
I think if there's any challenge, it's going to be to edit our time and be brief and succinct. I wanted to just start with your journey. Why are you so passionate about the Holy Land?
The Holy Land was something I quite honestly was not passionate about for years and years. I lived for 9 years in Corsica, and there were groups going to the Holy Land quite often, and people were saying, oh, you should go to the Holy Land. And I said, why would I want to go to the Holy Land? Here I am in Corsica, called Island of Beauty. There's no place I'll find that's more beautiful on the face of the planet Earth. Why would I want to go to a place that's probably not as beautiful, lots of stones, very dry? I quite honestly was not interested at all at going. What happened, however, is that after many years, people were convinced